The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tim Watts, CEO of Shield Therapeutics, STX, his ticker there. Tim, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Justin. Good morning.
Now, you've released some news on the update as far as US partnering discussions and launch of Acrofin US, and there's a lot of detail in that RNS. So let's start off by, if people are listening and they're not familiar with the company, just give us a brief summary, Tim, if you could, as to what Shield is all about.
Okay, Shield is a product, a company that has developed a product for the treatment of iron deficiency. It's an oral product. Its brand name in Europe is Ferrocru. Its brand name in the US is Acrofer. And this is a new novel type of oral treatment for iron deficiency, which we believe has benefits over and above the existing and older generic oral salts, and also has benefits, we believe, over the alternative to oral, which is the intravenous treatment of iron deficiency. And what we're talking about today is how we're going to commercialize that product in the US.
Yeah, exactly. And I see that line there. You provide an update on its plans to commercialize Acrofer in the US and your cash position. Now, investors always want to know the cash position. So let's start with that, Tim, if you could. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and this is important, an important component of the announcement we put out today, because we'd previously guided that the cash we had would last us into the first quarter of the next year. Mm-hmm. And clearly, people were beginning to get a little bit nervous. So we have been able to source some loans from two of our significant shareholders. One is AOP, who own a little over 10% of the company. The other is Dr. Christian Schweiger, who is a director. He also owns about 3.5% of the company. And we're very grateful to them for their confidence in the company and being willing to make some these loans available, which gives us the runway out to the back end of 2021. So that we can, get on with finding the right commercial solution for the US.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the US licensing then. What's happening there?
So as everybody who's followed us knows, we have been following a path over the last 18 months of looking for a licensed partner for Acrofer in the US. It was approved in the US for a very broad indication. That's the treatment of iron deficiency in adults. And we've been looking for a route to commercialize Acrofer in the US through licensing. And that strategy really dates back some time in the company's history. And as we've touched on in the RNS, we've got very close to a deal on several occasions. And we've had some frustrations. I mean, in a couple of cases, we got right the way through the development of all the detailed license documentation and supply documentation, and those are many pages of legal agreements, only to have the unfortunate situation of very close to the end where the other companies have backed out for different reasons, but not related to Acrofer, related to the evolution of their own business, which has given them reason to pull out at the last minute. And that's been immensely frustrating for us. Mm. And did lead us to the thought that grew on us during the summer, I suppose, that we really needed to perhaps look for want of a better phrase, an insurance policy where perhaps we had more control over the final outcome, and so we began to think about could we contemplate launching Acrofer ourselves in the US, rather than trying to rely on a licensed partner. Mm-hmm. And during the course of the last 15 months or so, we have talked to many companies who have expressed a strong interest in Acrofer. There's no doubt people are very interested by it and think it's an interesting product. Many of those companies have been focused, that their focus is on a single therapy area. And one of the things about Acrofer, which makes it a very large and big opportunity, is that iron deficiency is seen across many therapeutic areas. It ranges from chronic kidney disease, inflammatory bowel disease. You see it in cardiology. You see it in oncology, women's health management. So it has a very wide usage. And part of the issue that we face as we've tried to find a licensed partner is how, if you talk to a company which is focused on, for example, inflammatory bowel disease and gastroenterology, mm-hmm. how do we, as the owner of the product, make sure that Accrufer, we get the value for Accrufer, not just in inflammatory bowel disease, where that party might be great, but that the product is then sold elsewhere and that we can get the royalties from elsewhere. So, that's been one part of our thought process, is if we talk to companies like this, how do we really make sure that we can get the long-term financial value from the product? And another thing that we've seen is many of the companies that talked to us have been relatively small, and in some cases even startups with perhaps significant financial backing, wanting to acquire a product like Accrufer so that they can start to build their own sales and marketing presence in the US, perhaps because they've got their own phase 3 product coming through and they want to get a sales and marketing organization up and running. Mm-hmm. And the more we've talked to companies like that, the more we've understood the US market, the opportunity, and also the thought, if a company like that can contemplate taking Accrufer and starting up and running it from scratch, perhaps we could do that ourselves. Why do we need to rely on a third party to do that? So we started to develop that as an insurance party, an insurance policy, as I say, so that perhaps we would not be reliant on another party absolutely coming to the finishing line and signing.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose it's worth pointing out, the potential there in the US, the market opportunity. Tell us about that, if you could.
Yeah, I mean, the market opportunity, we think, is very substantial. We believe there's something in the region of 10 million prescriptions for iron each year. We think there's around 10 million patients who have anemia as a result of iron deficiency, and there are probably maybe two to three times more who actually have the broader iron deficiency, perhaps who are not yet anemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a huge number of people out there who have it, and a lot of those prescriptions, the vast majority of those prescriptions, are actually for oral products. A relatively small minority are for intravenous therapy. So for a product like Accrufer, which is oral and which we believe offers some advantages over both the existing older orals and the intravenous products, it just shows you, what a large opportunity there is. And if you add to that, COVID is making intravenous less attractive because patients mm-hmm. don't want to go into, particularly patients with underlying health of, issues, yeah. do not want to go into hospitals to receive their intravenous infusion. Doctors don't want to send them into hospitals. So there is some evidence emerging that intravenous iron therapy is perhaps not performing quite as well during 2020, and that there are more oral prescriptions being written. So, we do think there's a great opportunity here now for Accrufer, and the wind is blowing in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm so looking forward there, any kinds of milestones you hope to achieve or news you hope to tick off that investors or potential followers can look out for?
Well, what I think what we're saying in this RNS is that we're really telling investors that we're still looking at license opportunities, and we still have other companies out there, very credible companies out there that we're talking to. But our fingers have been slightly burnt, so we don't want to entirely rely on that. We're developing plans. We're using appropriate US experts and specialists to advise us and support us on really building up our plans in great detail. We're working out exactly how would we get the product from Europe, where we manufacture it, into the US supply chain, right the way into pharmacies all across the states, in individual states, where you need state licenses and so on. So we're working out how you'd go about approaching the people who pay, the insurance companies who pay for the drug. What about the marketing? What about the sales and promotion? And of course, one of the things that's emerged, or it has been emerging over a couple of years and has been accelerated by COVID, is the greater attraction now of e-detailing, of remote marketing, and so on, which really means that a small company has the potential to reach a bigger community of prescribers than perhaps might have been the case in the past. So there's a number of things, I think, which we're seeing and we're working out and we're looking at. We could do this very credibly as an alternative to a license deal.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, as always then, at the end, Tim, there, for people listening who like the sound of the progress you're making here but are not yet following the story, just give them the three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button and add Shield Therapeutics to their watch list, please.
So I think we have the fact that the product is a great new treatment, a nice convenient oral treatment for iron deficiency, which is a widespread ailment. We have the fact that the product is already partnered in Europe and in China. It's on the market in Europe and it's growing steadily. In China, we hope it'll come to the market in 2023. So the value of the company is underpinned by the European and the Chinese opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then there is a huge upside available from the US when we resolve whether we're going to go down the license route or whether we decide to commercialize the product in the US ourselves.
Excellent stuff. Tim, good to chat to you. And thanks for the update. And hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.